Jacksonville Power Sports, your fun starts here.
Nepsis brings you this half hour of the I Work For Him radio broadcast. When you invest with clarity, you have a better wealth and a better life. Clarity is the single largest challenge keeping investors from achieving more. Visit Nepsis online at nepsiscapital.com.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
What if God has more for you at your 9 to 5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work For Him. Join the I Work For Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work For Him Nation to Christ followers working all over the United States, you've tuned into the fastest 1 hour in Christian talk radio. Hey, welcome to I Work For Him as we broadcast to you this afternoon out of Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, the First Coast, and all over the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. But however you're listening to us today, because maybe you're listening to us on the podcast, just know we've prayed for you that something we say today will cause you to dig deeper in connecting your faith to the conversation we're going to have today about generosity. Before we get into our conversation, we want to talk to you about how you could connect with us online.
Well, Jim, you know, we are posting every day on Facebook. The information about what show is coming up goes out on every Sunday night. So this is something that people could be aware of, is to look on our post from Sunday night and find out what is going to be on the docket for the week. And that is a great way to stay connected and to find out if any of your favorite past guests are coming back or what conversation we're having, so that they can make sure that they tune in. And we have an anniversary today.
Yes, we do. Today's the 6-year anniversary of the day that we first found out the radio was what the Lord wanted us to do. February 19th, 2013, when Deborah Ray Roseman, a tribute out to her, said, Jim, you need to talk about that on the radio. 6 years later, thank you, Deborah Ray Roseman, for investing in our lives and getting us started on radio a little under 6 years ago. But we found out about it today.
And we've been broadcasting on the First Coast for 1 year today. So we've been in the Jacksonville area, and we just love our listeners there and the way that they just take the initiative to interact with us. It's kind of fun because we know that we're at the end of their workday, and so we get a lot of people saying, listening to you on the way home. It's a great way to end my day every day. So thank you, First Coast, for hanging in there this last year and growing.
Even got a text message last night at 9:30. Somebody saying that they really appreciate what's going on there. Love to hear from all of your listeners. Go out to iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com in order to contact us and interact with us. Love to hear from you. All right, generosity. It should shape the life of anyone who calls themselves a Jesus follower. That's not my opinion. It's scriptural. What does that look like as it's walked out day to day? How does it shape your personality, affect your family, impact your community? Well, Brad Formsma, he led his family through a journey of living generosity out every day. Drew, his son, caught on and has taken it to whole new levels. They call it everyday generosity. And you can find it on a website by the same name, everydaygenerosity.com. They both join us today from California, where it's still early in the morning, to hear they're going to share a little bit of their story and stories of generosity they've seen all over the country. Drew and Brad Formsma, welcome to I Work For Him.
Great to be here. Yeah, all thanks right, for having us on.
Hey, Drew, let's just start with you, as you are still, are you in college now, or are you in you're finishing up high school this year?
Yes, I'm in high school. I'm a junior in high school, and I go to school in Orange County. So,
all right, Orange County, California. You're still a junior in high school. Fantastic. That's really important for people to note. Tell us, Drew, how did you become a follower of Jesus?
At 8 years old, I committed myself to Christ and decided that this is something that I wanted to take up on my life, and that it's something that I get to work towards a relationship with Him every day. And it's similar to giving. It's something we get to step into and be in a relationship with God and make it something that we get to do.
I love that. Brad, what about you? How did you become a Jesus follower?
Well, I always say I was one of the greatest make-believers growing up in a Christian home until age 28, when our first son was born. And I had a pastor speak into my life in a way that I never heard before, and it just made me realize that I was lost and I was a sinner, and Jesus gave it all, paid his life for mine. And so it was in that moment I said, Lord, have your way with me. And we were on a fast track to walking daily together and now into the work we do today.
That's so excellent. I think it's so interesting how becoming a parent can be very pivotal in our look, assessing our lives and saying, you know, is there something more? Is it, you know, what is it that I'm created to be? This is awesome responsibility. All of those things that make us very good grounds for God to work on in our hearts. So what a great and timing to have a pastor speak into you at that age.
So Brad, we're talking about generosity today, the book that you and Drew wrote together, Everyday Generosity. Mm-hmm. Brad, how did God blossom generosity in your life?
Well, it really started for me. I'm 11 years old, and my grandpa modeled what I call the generous life, 7 ways to the generous life. And it started with him. He was a big commercial baker, and yet he had a small test kitchen next to his office. And every Saturday morning, he'd make 16 loaves of bread. And one particular Saturday morning, he had me come with him. When we did that, the loaves of bread cooled off. I thought it was going to be about me, bread, and, you know, a Saturday morning of fun. And no, they went into his trunk. And I tagged along with him. And the first stop was to a widow with a few loaves of bread. And he was generous with his words and to her and very affirming. And the second stop was a few more loaves of bread and a white envelope. And he explained that he was being generous with his money, that person had a financial need. And the third stop was yet again, a few more loaves of bread and him helping connect someone. He was really being generous with his influence. And so he began to model other ways in addition to that, being generous with his time and his thoughts and the way that he shares his stuff. And so
you never got to eat any of that bread, did you?
We never got any bread that day, but I promise you I've had plenty since in the weeks after. That was just a special day of modeling the generous life, and there was not as much receiving that day.
But what an impact it made on you for you to remember as an 11-year-old the values that you started to learn that day. And he was probably already modeling, but you got to be in a front row seat on that particular day. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And literally in the front seat. But, you know, this latest project, Everyday Generosity, really is born out of parents saying to us after we speak at large churches across the country, like, help us in this area. And Drew has a great acronym, ME. Drew, why don't you explain that?
Sure, yes. I have this acronym that I came up with that I really was hoping to really help parents start. How do I bring this into with my kids? How do I show them the generous life? So I came up with this acronym, ME, Model, Encourage, Engage. And so when I looked into it more, I've realized my parents, all they were doing is modeling the generous life. They weren't talking about it. They were doing it themselves. And so I just challenge parents, step into it in your daily life, and your kids will start to see it. The next is encourage. I would say just encourage your kids on this journey, but don't force it. It gets really gross, trust me. You don't want to go there. Just encourage them on their journey and show them different places where they could step in to give. And then the last is engage. I just share the stories around the dinner table at night. Talk about it, because generosity is just never talked about. Because I've realized that when generosity is talked about, generosity inspires generosity. So when we get to talk about this, it's truly powerful. And I have kids come up to me at school and they say, Drew, I don't even know what giving means. So a lot of my generation, there's a disconnect when they hear generosity, or they just believe it's just about writing the big check.
But Drew, you're a teenager. You know, when you've watched your mom and dad demonstrate generosity all of your life, but you're a teenager, and most teenagers aren't real. You know, it's not like they're always going to go, hey, whatever mom and dad does, that's what I'm going to do. Usually it's the whatever mom and dad does, I'm going to go the other direction at 100 miles an hour. How did you decide that this was something that I believe generosity really should fuel my life?
Well, at first, I would tell you, I was very like, what's going on here? I was seeing them doing things to random people. I'd go, why are they giving to a random person they don't know? Why are they so happy? So there was some like skeptical approach to this at first. I was like wondering what was happening. And I started to catch on. I started to see the fruit that happened when they gave. I started to see that they gave with a good intention to help someone else. And there was a lot of benefit that came back. And I talk about that in my book as well, that the benefits when we have the right intention when we give is so important. And I started to see what happened when they gave. And I was like, I want some of that too. So that really, that's how it started for me. I saw what I liked, and I adapted it.
When we come back, lots more with Drew and Brad Forms, but talking about their book, Everyday Generosity, and their life of living out generosity. Check them out online, everydaygenerosity.com, everydaygenerosity.com, and also the website, ilikegiving.com. You'll listen to I Work For Him. We'll be right back.
Hey, wait, don't turn to another station. I've got a challenge for you. This is Jim Brangenberg, and I want to talk to you about the I Work For Him Nation. I know you already want to be part of something big in your workplace, so why don't you join the I Work For Him Nation today? Watch your very workplace transform before your eyes as you are transformed too. When we recognize that our workplace is our place of mission, it's a paradigm shift of our minds. Go out to iworkforhim.com and click on the I Work For Him Nation flag. Put your faith on notice at work. Join the I Work For Him Nation now.
Here's Rick Box, founder of Unconventional Business Network, with today's Integrity Moment.
For years, I've observed an organization that is led by a very dominant figure. Their culture seems legalistic, and the employees operate out of fear. Anyone who violates a rule suffers severe consequences or is terminated. What's disappointing is that the organization is led by a self-proclaimed Christian, yet grace is rarely seen. It's no coincidence that Jesus came to earth during the time Pharisees were leading the Jewish people. Their legalistic ruling style had hardened the hearts of many against God. The people needed to see God's true nature. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus brought grace and truth to earth. As followers of Jesus, let's bring grace and truth to our workplaces in His honor.
To learn more about Unconventional Business Network and doing business God's way, visit unconventionalbusiness.org. That's unconventionalbusiness.org.
As an apartment management professional, wouldn't you like to increase revenue without raising rent? Installing individual unit water meters allows for direct billing of residents and creates a revenue recapture strategy that adds to your bottom line without increasing rent. It also lowers consumption 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been in business since 1957 and has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit Think Utility Services.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as we're talking generosity today. Not just any kind of generosity, but everyday generosity. Becoming a generous family in a selfie world, Everyday Generosity is the book written by Drew and Brad Formsma. You can check it out online, everydaygenerosity.com, everydaygenerosity.com. You know, Brad, let's start, go to a basis back of the conversation. Your grandfather was incredibly influential in your life and teaching you generosity, but it's just about giving money, right? Isn't that what generosity is?
Well, no. In fact, I often say to people, what do you think about when you think about generosity? And yet most will come to the word money. Right. And yet when we read in scripture where Paul's saying, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Or we read these passages about spurring each other on towards love and good deeds. I think it's pretty clear that it's not money every day, every hour, every week, every month. That's a part. And yet, when I find people becoming, and myself becoming more generous in these other areas of our lives, as we interact with other people in our daily, weekly, monthly rhythms of connection, I become more generous with money, but I think it's a more whole life approach.
So you're talking about these other ways to be generous. How many different ways are there to be generous?
Oh, Martha, we talk about 7 ways to the generous life. Now, of course, you could probably come up with many other, but what we've found is when you take these seven ways and make the decision that you want to live generously, they change your world. So number one, being generous with our words. Number two, being generous with our thoughts towards ourselves and others. Number three, being generous with our money. Number four, being generous in the way we share our stuff. Generous with our time. Generous with our influence. And then the one that I'm working on more than ever before, generous with my attention. We live in this world where we have this 5 or 6 ounce device, depending on what model you have, that technology, glass, and plastic. And it's like, it's the anti-attention generosity thing in our world. And it's helpful. It's a tool. But, I mean, have we not seen it? You're sitting at a restaurant and everybody's on their phone, or you're having a conversation with someone and it beeps, buzzes, or vibrates. And I just think that one of the most powerful ways to be generous is to be fully present with your attention.
You know, what I love about the book that you guys put together, Drew and Brad Formsma from everydaygenerosity.com, everydaygenerosity.com. What I love about your book is it's full of stories. And that's what makes a book awesome. Because some people read and they can just read, like here's instructions how to do something and they get it. But a lot of people, when they read instructions or details, they really get solidified, or as I like to use the word, cemented in my mind when I've got stories to put alongside of them. That's why pastors use sermon illustrations. You guys use generosity demonstrations throughout the book, and you talk about them, and it's powerful. So I want to go through those seven different categories, and I've got them in a different order, but I grabbed them right out of the book. But thoughts, words, money, time, influence, attention, and possessions. I want to go through those and have you guys tell some stories that go alongside of that. Would that be okay?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, Drew could tell stories all day long.
Oh, Drew can.
Sounds like some fun.
I've heard the both of you speak. You're both pretty good at sharing stories. Okay, so thoughts. Brad, can you share a story of putting thought generosity into action?
Well, I was at an airport. I travel a lot, speaking at leading companies on the culture of generosity. And as I mentioned, at large churches in America. So that puts you in airport bathrooms. And any of you that have done that know a clean airport bathroom is a bonus. And so one day I was leaving this restroom and it was so clean, this airport in South Florida, your state. And I just thought, oh man, you know, that guy's just in there cleaning the bathroom, you know, and I'm glad I don't have that job. Something that probably wasn't the best thought. And then I thought, what if I go introduce myself to him and just thank him? And so this is probably a story of combined thoughts and words, but I said to him, sir, I just want to thank you for making the airport bathroom so nice and clean. I travel a lot. It's a bonus when you find a clean one. And he reached out his big hand and buried it behind. He said, I'm Conrad. I said, I'm Brad. And I said, I just really appreciate you making that bathroom nice. And as he reached over with his hand, I noticed the patch on his shirt was blank. And I said, Conrad, if you worked for me, your name would be on your shirt. I think you're a good man. You matter. And I could see a tear well up in the corner of his eye, and the smile broke across his face. And I like floated away from him. And I got caught up with my wife, and she's like, what's going on? You're glowing. I said, well, I just went to the bathroom. No, what I really said was, honey, I just met Conrad. And she said, oh, you know, who's Conrad? And I said, you know, we just had this powerful exchange. You know, that truth when Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive, and that I'm experiencing that right now. I thought I was doing the giving by thinking highly of him and being generous with my words. And instead, I'm overflowing with this joy. So I think that would be one example of just a daily encounter with another person and thinking more of them than ourselves.
For sure. And, you know, one of the things I just want to point out is, Brad, how many minutes do you think that exchange took?
Martha, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I mean, we're in 2.5 minute time range, and sometimes it's even less than that. But, you know, it's interesting. I always bump into people leaving the airport bathrooms who are cleaning it. And I just make a point to say, hi, thank you. Yeah. And you know what? I read a report recently that said they actually interviewed people who clean airport bathrooms. And you know what's the number one thing they want? They want eye contact. Mm-hmm. They don't want to feel like they're just, you know, because they're constantly in there cleaning because there's so much volume. And I just thought, for anybody listening, you're wondering, well, how can I do this? How can I put this into practice? We always say, get that antenna working. These opportunities are all around us for us to engage and be a light in the world.
Drew, what about you? You got a story on thoughts or words of how you've demonstrated generosity?
Yes, I do. I think I can bring it right in my family. I think being generous inside of our family is a huge part of what our family looks like. And I don't always get this right. I do tease my sister, and I do make my brother mad oftentimes. But when I started to realize that I can be generous with my words with them, I started to think about how I could treat my sister, who's 12, a little bit differently. And oftentimes, I was like, well, how could I use my word to impact her and leave a good mark on her and help her grow up a great kid? And it really started with every night I'd tuck my sister in and just talk to her and be there for her and care about her. And I started to realize that really impacted her so much. And she tells me today, like, it's the best part of her day oftentimes, because some things don't go right and she just needs to talk through things. And as a brother, I think that's the role I get to take. And I realize that is such a huge part of being generous, because inside of our families, that's where it needs to start. And that's why the tagline of the book is becoming a generous family in a selfie world, because it starts in our families. And that's where that story started for me.
Well, and it's really true, Drew, what you just said, because if you can't live it at home, is it really live it in you? Because a lot of us are really good at doing stuff out in the street. We can do quote-unquote ministry almost anywhere. When we come home, we're just not the same person. We don't treat our brothers or sisters or moms and dads the same way. So it's very true. It needs to start at home. That makes it real.
Exactly.
So, Brad, how's Drew doing being generous at home? I mean, you're the dad, and we're live on the radio. So, you know, Drew just said he's loving on his sister. I mean, is he really living this out?
Well, he really is. And I'm sitting here under a conviction, because I dropped my wife off with my daughter at the airport at 5:30 this morning, which meant we woke up at 4:30. And I'm wondering if I was as generous as I could have been. So the worst thing that would happen is for people to think we have our act together every day, every moment, every hour. But I think what we've realized is, by making a decision as a family to want to live and lead this way, we also catch ourselves, because you can be generous in the way that you ask for forgiveness and forgive. So, you know, there's a whole element of going at our dinner table three times a week. We aim for four, but we try to get around the table and we'll say, you know, the other day I really missed on that with you, and, you know, I'm sorry about that. And I think that helps us reset.
And if you could do the dinner table, what you just said, which we have more time in this segment, but the dinner table, the most powerful tool in raising children, the dinner table with the TV off. You're listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg, as we talk with Drew and Brad Formsma. They've written this book, Everyday Generosity, Becoming a Generous Family in a Selfie World. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Jim and I invite you to join us as an I Work For Him partner. We can change our country through our workplaces, and you can help. Christ followers outside of Tampa Bay and the First Coast desperately need to know that their work matters to God. Help us take the message of I Work For Him nationwide. Be one of 367 partners to commit to $100 a month for 3 years. Only 2% of Christ followers in America know and understand their work is a gift from God. Be a gift to the other 98%. Go to iworkforhim.com and click on the Donate Now button and set up your recurring gift, and be one of 367.
Work as Worship One Day Retreat is coming to Jacksonville on February 22nd. Join thousands of Christian business professionals from around the world for this one-day live stream event hosted by Co-Passion. Hear from Francis Chan, Megan Alexander, Hobby Lobby's own Steve Green, and others about connecting your faith and work. The Work is Worship Retreat live stream event is being held at Eastside Community Church on Beach Boulevard, next to Pablo Creek Library. Doors open at 8 a.m. Tickets are on sale now and only $30. Visit workasworshipretreat.org and register to attend. Invite those you work alongside and build your team stronger. Go to workasworshipretreat.org. That's workasworshipretreat.org. And purchase your tickets today. I Work For Him is brought to you in part by Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services, a company that allows you to own your own business while honoring and glorifying God. Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Services is a faith-based company providing franchise opportunities in Jacksonville and teaches you everything you need to know about commercial cleaning and how to build your own franchise. You can find more information about being your own boss in this faith-based business at OfficePrideFranchise.com.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Chicago police are investigating a tip that on the night Empire actor Jussie Smollett reported being attacked by two masked men. He was in an elevator of his apartment building with the two brothers later arrested and released from custody in the probe. Department spokesman Anthony Guglielmi says the person who lived in the building or was visiting someone there reported seeing the three together the night Smollett says two masked men beat him and looped a rope around his neck. President Trump is declaring that he will prevail over multi-state lawsuits challenging his emergency declaration to pay for a U.S.-Mexico border wall. Mr. Trump says he expects to do very well against the suit, adding that he had an absolute right to make the declaration. A group of 16 states, including California, New York, and Colorado, filed a lawsuit Monday against Trump's emergency declaration. On Wall Street, the Dow by 8 points, the NASDAQ rose 15. More details at srnnews.com.
SNC Square Roofing, everything you should expect from a roofing contractor and more. Hey, it's John Vitas, the voiceover guy. SNC Square Roofing replaced my roof, and I'm here to tell you, my wife and I were amazed at their quality of work and how well they kept the job site so clean. SNC Square Roofing, from the estimate to the last shingle, you can count on a job well done. SNC Square is a certified CertainTeed shingle master applicator. Give my roofer a call today. SNC Square LLC, roofing with integrity. Call 524-8621. That's 524-8621.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Join me weekdays for This Morning, America's First News. Hear the stories you'll be talking about and searching for all day as we go beyond the headlines and above the chatter with your first look at breaking news, money, Washington politics, technology, entertainment, entrepreneurship, and sports. We explain why stories matter. Join us weekdays for This Morning, America's First News.
Weekday mornings at 5 on Talk 100.3 FM.
This half hour of the I Work For Him show is brought to you by Office Pride Commercial Office Cleaning Franchise. Own a different kind of commercial cleaning franchise. OfficePrideFranchise.com. That's OfficePrideFranchise.com.
Hey, welcome back to I Work For Him as we're talking about generosity. Everyday Generosity. You can check it out online, EverydayGenerosity.com. It's a book written by Drew and Brad Formsma. I love it. Martha and I get to hear these guys speak back in California in late October, early October, or sometime last fall. It was beautiful. That's all I remember.
It was the fall.
But these guys shared stories, and I know that this is from what I have seen as a Jesus follower for almost 40 years, is that generosity should flow naturally out of the heart of everybody who says they're a Jesus follower. Yet it's something, if we haven't seen it modeled, we don't know what it looks like. Well, Drew and Brad have written this book, Everyday Generosity, and they talk about the seven ways that they have seen that they're able to demonstrate that generosity. But Martha, you had a question for Drew before we keep going on.
Well, I did. So first, I just want our listeners that might be just tuning in to realize that this is a father and son team. And so one of the things that I love is the fact that you talked about what's happening in your own home, and you're speaking to families, you're trying to help set them up for a culture of generosity within their home. And my question is, Drew, what do you guys do in your home when somebody's leaning towards the stingy side and not the generous side? What happens in your home to kind of get y'all back on track?
It simply starts that when we're around the dinner table, my dad and often my mom address this if there's something going on between me or my dad or my parents, my dad usually leads it by just putting it out there and asking for forgiveness from either my mom or if it's one of my siblings, and just bringing it out onto the table. Because when we just start stuffing stuff and keeping it all in and just being upset with the other person, that doesn't work. And like my dad was saying earlier, generosity, when we start to be generous with our words, and especially with our own families, that's when we start to see families that stick together. I think families that give together stay together. So,
those are good words.
That's a good word. Families that give together stay together. Do you have any plaques with that on it?
No, I need to copyright that.
You do.
Think,
and then, as we always say, put it on a T-shirt.
That's right. Put it on. That's right. Okay, so Drew, let's talk about generosity stories having to do with money. So the seven categories you highlight in the book, seven categories of generosity that you guys work on all the time as part of a family: thoughts, words, money, time, influence, attention, and possessions. Give us some money stories. That seems like that's the easiest thing for people to hone in on when they think of generosity is money. What's that look like to you? Give us a story or two.
I wondered that for myself as well, but I started to think, I don't have a lot of money right now. I make not a lot. And I know a lot of my generation might go, "Ooh, I can't give with money." But I actually believe, I started to talk to my parents and ask them, "So how do I start to get involved financially in this?" And it really all came to the fact that if I start giving now, I probably have a good chance of doing it later because of the habit. And so I have a couple nonprofits that I really like. There's a wheelchair one that is given to different people that have a special need. And there's also a Bible translation one that I give to, and I translate a certain amount of verses each month. And then to my local church as well, small amounts now, the habit will continue. And later in life, I will not have to make the decision because I made it in my teenage years. And that's really what I challenge parents to start to implement that habit in their family. Most of your kids won't have to make that decision when they're 30, 40, 50, 60. Maybe the zeros will go up, and I hope they will. But starting that habit as a kid is truly powerful.
Those are some really great words, because I know that Jim and I, we've often, when we've mentored a couple and they're dealing with a debt situation, they have this mentality that they can't afford to do it. And of course, we redirect that biblically. But at the same time, if it had been a practice for them from a younger age, that wouldn't even be part of their mentality, don't you think, Jim?
Yeah, I think so. Brad, how often do you have a chance to talk with adults who are so strapped with debt that they are unable to be generous because they've spent so much money on themselves?
Well, it's a pretty sensitive topic, and it's not something that people often lead with, especially if you're in the back of a church and you just got done talking about generosity. But we, you know, our friend Dave Ramsey has a lot of data on this and does a phenomenal job in helping people get free from indebtedness with his plan so that they can live more generously. But yet people who I have talked to who feel like I don't have anything to give, I always say, you know, you could give the benefit of the doubt to someone. Oh, that's not fair, you know, whatever. Well, you could give some of your time. And that's what we like about these seven areas, that if you make the decision that you want to live generously, believing that someday your economic situation will improve, you become less in debt and things get better for you, you'll be able to increase giving and money. But you know what's interesting? When you start to aim your heart and your view off of you and onto other people, you spend less on yourself. And that's really a novel idea, isn't it? So the more I'm generous with my words to someone else, the more I share possessions that I have with someone else, the less of a grip money and possessions have on our lives, because we're using an open hand. And so I think for me, our hope is that as people experience the joy of living generously, they don't want to let that go back. I've never met anybody that said, gosh, you know, the last few years I gave too much. The joy level was just awful. It didn't work. My relationships got worse. My world kind of crashed and burned. So I'm never going to give again. Yeah. Never hear that. I always hear.
That's right.
Generous people get more generous.
Oh, those are good words.
Absolutely.
Generous people get more generous.
We're talking today with Drew and Brad Formsma. They've written this book, Everyday Generosity, Becoming a Generous Family in a Selfie World. Check it out online, everydaygenerosity.com, everydaygenerosity.com. You know, the I Work For Him audience, Brad and Drew, these people are listening going, okay, but how does this apply to my work? And I want to talk about how you can be generous with your influence, but all of these ways of being generous, this can apply not only in our private life outside of the office, this can really work inside the office too, can it?
Absolutely. In fact, this is where we end up, Jim, at leading companies, often companies that have a culture where it's servant or others focused. They want someone else to come in and reinforce some things that were already happening there. I don't know anybody who doesn't like to be refreshed with ideas and stories and even scripture if that works in the workplace. And I always like to say, when we're at a company, I say, you know, you can be generous by not hitting send on that email. And they all start to chuckle. And I didn't even say what was in the email. But then I go on to mention, look, how many of us have drafted this beautiful, snarky email? I'm just going to get that person. I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to copy a few people on it just to make sure the world knows I was right. And I'm going to, you know, this is going to be just so good. And I always say, just be generous and don't hit send. Give it a day. And if a day later you still think you should send it, probably a good indication you should. But you know what? How many times after a day cooler heads prevail and we realize, huh? And because that's a way of being generous with our words by not sharing them, holding our tongue, holding our thought. And it just begins to affect the workplace. Time and time again, that whole gift of, you know, being generous with your attention at work, I bump into people who are leading teams and they say, there's nothing better than when our CEO or people that I'm managing come to me and we have a fully engaged conversation and we've made the decision to put the phones outside of the conference table or outside of the meeting space to just be present. How powerful that is. Simple stuff. You'd think, oh, this is so obvious. How do you even need to talk about this? And yet it's very, very significant to fostering a better, healthier work culture.
I have to believe that our listeners here on I Work For Him have just kind of perked up their ears a little bit and thought about how they in their workplace can use generosity in a whole new way. So talk about the area of influence. How can I, how can our listeners, how can Jim, how can we be generous with our influence? How do we put that into action?
Well, Martha, you know, I think we all have spheres of influence. And sometimes, again, what do you think about when you think about influence? Think, oh, that's someone who leads the company or that's the mayor in the city. They have influence. We all have influence starting at our home, and it grows out from there. And I love to say, I wouldn't be where I am today without God's grace and other people being generous with their influence. Three of the most significant relationships I have are people who felt led to introduce me to someone for a greater purpose. They shared a friendship. They were generous with their influence. Say, you should talk to so-and-so. And that has mushroomed out into, I can't even begin to measure it. Just yesterday, I introduced two people that I just knew in my heart needed to know each other. And the sparks are already flying. And it's so fun. There's a joy that comes from that. You think, oh, everybody knows each other. We're only a couple of degrees of separation. But no, it's so good to share our influence with our friends and our relationships. Many people know this on the professional side, but in the faith-oriented work that we do, you know, I've never spoken at a church where we actually cold called, if you will, the pastor and said, this is how we help reinforce the local vision of your church and help foster more generosity. It always comes through them recognizing a church that we've been at or one of our other pastor friends picking up the phone and saying, hey, I had those guys in and they brought a great generational generosity message to our church family. So I would just encourage people, look around, who do you know? And don't do it just to do it. Do it because you see that there could be a good match. And ask the Spirit of God to guide you in how to be generous with your influence.
Yeah.
And when we come back, Drew, I want you to work on a couple of stories. One on how you use your influence as a 17-year-old speaker, author, and high school student who's now going to be a professional golfer, as it sounds like. You know, how are you going to use that influence for God's glory? And then I want to hear a possession story on how you've been generous with possessions. You listen to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg, as we're talking today with Drew and Brad Formsma. They wrote this book, Everyday Generosity, Becoming a Generous Family in a Selfie World. Check them out online, everydaygenerosity.com, everydaygenerosity.com. You and me in our workplaces each and every day by demonstrating generosity in one of seven ways: thoughts, words, money, time, influence, attention, and possessions. Those things can draw people to the Jesus living in you and me. We'll be right back.
As an apartment management company, are you charging market rent but seeing decreased profit? Turn the trend around by installing individual unit water meters and billing residents for what they consume. Lower property water consumption 20 to 40% and put utility costs back in the bank. Think Utility Services, in business since 1957, has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com.
Reconnect One with Carmen LaBurge.
Your days are numbered, but not by you. In the first 6 months of California's passage of so-called right to die legislation, 111 people intentionally ended their own lives with the aid of a physician. So, do we have that right? Do we have the right to die? Who gives such a right or takes such a right away? Autonomy is a delusion. We are not entitled to do whatever we want, whether it be abortion or assisted suicide. To be pro-life means we honor the life that God has given from conception to natural death. God is the author and sustainer of life. We are not. We cannot make our hearts beat, nor can we add one day to the span of our lives. Indeed, our lives are numbered, but not by us.
Reconnect today's headlines with God's perspective. Visit reconnectwithcarmen.com. ReconnectWithCarmen.com.
Martha and I invite you to join us as an I Work For Him partner. We can change our country through our workplaces, and you can help. Christ followers outside of Tampa Bay and the First Coast desperately need to know that their work matters to God. Help us to take the message of I Work For Him nationwide. Be one of 367 partners to commit to $100 a month for 3 years. Only 2% of Christ followers in America know and understand that their work is a gift from God. Be a gift to the other 98%. Go to IWorkForHim.com, click on the Donate Now button, and set up your recurring gift. And be one of 367. Welcome back to I Work For Him. Martha and I are talking about all things generosity. In fact, we're talking about everyday generosity, a book written by Drew and Brad Formsma. Becoming a generous family in a selfie world, generosity should flow from naturally from the heart of the Jesus follower. What's it look like? How do we know what to do? Well, a lot of times we need faith examples in order to inspire us to live by faith. And that's where this book really comes into play. Check it out online. Get a copy immediately. EverydayGenerosity.com, EverydayGenerosity.com. You can find it on all your normal websites as well. But today we're going to promote only EverydayGenerosity.com. Drew, I said before the break that I was going to come to you. I would love for you to share, as a 17-year-old high school junior, how are you generous with your influence in high school?
Well, in high school, I had that same question. How can I be generous in my daily walk as I walk in these halls of high school, and how tough of a time this can be for so many people? How can I make this a better experience for someone else? And so that really happened for me as I was in one class one day, and there was this kid next to me, and I got that nudge that this was going to be my friend. I was going to make sure that this kid was going to have a good experience. And he had super thick glasses, and he was a shorter kid. And I knew that this was my friend. And
So I just started to hang out with him, sit with him at lunch, help him with his homework, and a friendship started to happen. And I would see him in the hallways and give him a high five. And then the influence part started to come in, because my one decision to step into this student's life started to influence. It started to really bring a huge part in my friend's lives, because one day I was walking down the hallway and I saw from the other direction, my friend extend his hand to that kid that it really stuck out for. And I realized my friends started to realize what I was doing, and they were starting to do it because I was doing it. And so that was a great way just to lead with my influence. I was able, with my small little sphere of influence, I was able to bring the generous life and show them, help them see this need. And now today, that friend is now in our friend group. And I think because of my one decision, his high school experience is different. And I think in my small little sphere of influence, I was able to help someone get somewhere else that they might have not gotten otherwise.
Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. And realizing that each one of us can have that kind of use our influence for good. So Drew, just real quickly, touch on something with possessions. Again, you know, you said, well, I don't know, you know, money wise, I don't make a lot of money. What are things that you have learned that how you can be generous with your possessions?
Well, I want to combine this with also when a giving story goes wrong. So it's a little bit of both for the listeners. Okay. A little double here. So I got the nudge one day. There was this kid in one of my classes who just loved sports, and I had a signed jersey that I wanted to give to him, and I was going to surprise him. And I got all the way to class, and I had it in my backpack. And one of the best ways to qualify a giving story is just ask a question. And so I asked him a simple question. I said, hey, do you like this certain player who I had my signed jersey for? And he's like, no, I hate him. I hate him. I'm like, oh no, I was about to give you this. You don't even like the player. And so that was a time where I was going to give away something that was so valuable to me. But he ended up not even liking the player at all. So there are times that this thing doesn't go always right. It doesn't always go the way you think it should go. But I did my part in that, going, I released it as if it was given. And yeah. I think that's so important, as a lot of people I hear, even older people, talk about how they hold tight such possessions, and everything is so close, they can never give anything away.
And that's exactly right.
Maybe it's not financially, but some people are just stuck on a certain art piece or certain something in the car. And it's good to let that go sometimes.
It is. And it's a good point though to qualify it, because you certainly, something that is, you really want the joy of having someone enjoy it. You certainly don't want them to be like, oh, where can I raffle this off? This has, you know, I don't want anything to do with this. So
That's
good and bad came out of that. So thanks for sharing that.
So let's just talk about who we're talking to today. We're talking with Drew and Brad Formsma. They've written this book, Everyday Generosity, Becoming a Generous Family in a Selfie World. Why would you want to become a generous family, Brad Formsma?
Well, I think there's no other way to live. I think the generous life is the best life. And what Drew was just talking about, I thought of that passage in 1 Timothy 6 where the writer goes on to say, being rich in good deeds and generous and willing to share. And I think the challenge for all of us is, are we willing to share?
So it's not always easy to be generous, Brad. You've had some times in your life that were some tougher times. I mean, it's got to flow, you know, generosity's flowing within you. But when you had cancer, were you still able to demonstrate generosity when you're going through a really tough time?
Well, I'll never forget the day that I found out that I had this rare form of leukemia. You know, your whole life flashes before your eyes. And when you get those kind of news, and yet for me, I was able to go back to where my hope is in, and that my hope is in Jesus as my Savior. But I also went to our family decision, our pre-decision to live generously. And so we actually had a situation where my son, oldest son, came to us and he mentioned his buddy, his father was very sick and had 2 months to live. And we decided as a family, well, let's get them a prepaid gift card. And you know what? I'm sure they have some medical expense we don't know about. And sure enough, 2 months later, this doctor was right. The man passed away. But you see, 3 weeks after his death, we got a note from his wife. And she said, my husband was pacing back and forth in the living room, asking God to provide money so he could put new tires on my car so I would be safe before he went to heaven. Mm-hmm. And she said, your gift card provided those tires. And this is where I realized the power of the creator of the universe working through us and all of our brokenness and all of our situations in life to be a part of answering someone else's prayer. But I always go back to that story and think, had we not made a pre-decision as a family to want to aim at the generous life, I think I would have chickened out because, come on, we're all human. And is there going to be enough left? I was thinking, who's going to take care of my young family? But the focus to be able to go outward when the storms of life come and it's not all rainbows and butterflies really, really had a powerful impact on not only me, but I think our entire family.
Drew, your workplace every day is high school. You're a junior in high school. And I would, because I was a junior in high school at one point in time, I would say that generosity, probably not at the top of my thoughts. Most of the time I was thinking about girls. And as I understand, you're thinking about golf a lot. Talk to us about how are you helping shape the culture of your local high school there in Orange County, California, to demonstrate generosity even within your class? I mean, how many students are in your class?
We have about 1,400, but 400 in my class.
Okay, 400 kids. How are you shaping your junior class to be known for generosity really quick?
Well, I'm running for class president, so we'll see how that works, but I'll be bringing some generosity stories for sure, but I'll be doing a chapel as well, and a lot of my friends have just embraced this whole thing, and I even had a friend tell me his giving story today. And I was just like, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And I don't want to be someone that talks about something a lot and then doesn't do it. So I'm really on the, I just want to do it. Show my class what it's all about. And then they kind of go, oh, that's that generosity thing you're talking about. And then they start to pick up on what's happening. But I do, I'm probably a lot like you. I'm trying to find a girlfriend too, right?
You'll be generous with your time in that area, right? If the opportunity were there.
That's an easy one.
I'm not trying to find a girlfriend. For the record, I'm not trying to find a girlfriend anymore. I've got one. I've been married to her for a long time. Okay.
No, you
just want to get that out.
You're taken.
That's right. I am taken. Drew and Brad Forn. So thanks for sharing your book, Everyday Generosity, today with the I Work For Him audience. Thanks. It's great stories. There's so much more we could talk about, but thank you for investing your time in our audience today.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
Yes, this is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. We could do this again. Maybe we'll run into each other on location somewhere across the country this year somewhere. Drew and Brad Formsma, thank you so much. All right, check them out online, everydaygenerosity.com, everydaygenerosity.com. If you want your life to be reflecting what Jesus demonstrated, it involves everyday generosity. Check them out online, everydaygenerosity.com. You've been listening to I Work For Him with your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
FM 100.3, W262 AG, Jacksonville, WJBT HD3, Callahan, Talk 100.3 FM.
We know you're busy, so let Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Tunis Restaurant, just west of I-295, offers dine-in or takeout. The original Kronos gyros, oysters, shrimp, fish, wings, and more. It's all at the original Tunis Restaurant. A pound of gizzards or livers is just $4.99, 30 jumbo shrimp for $9.99. Check out our new Sidewinder fries. Special discounts for military, first responders, and school employees. The Original Tunis Restaurant. Open 7 days a week. Check us out on Facebook at ZBest The Original.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. As a sixth-generation jeweler, a question I get a lot is what kind of watch do you wear? The answer is a Rolex, and there are a couple of reasons. First, when my grandfather gave me a gift for graduating from college, he said, I want you to have something that you'll always remember me for. And he gave me the Rolex watch that I wear today. Now, more than 35 years later, it still runs and looks as good as it did the day I got it, a day I'll never forget. It might be the right time for you to create the same kind of memory, and nothing does it better than a Rolex from Underwoods. Whether it's a lady's or a man's, the watch is waterproof and has the classic good looks that make Rolex the watch people want to own. And at Underwoods, all of our Rolexes carry a 5-year guarantee. So stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Pontevedra, and let Rolex create a memory for you.